Red Film Radio, Torino Gay and Lesbian Film Festival, Italy.
Angela Cerbi of Red Film Radio from the Lovers Film Festival in Torino in Italy, and I'm here with Nils Erik Ekblom. Good morning.
Good morning.
Director of the film Piala, Crude, that was shown in competition yesterday here at the festival. How was the screening?
Oh, it was wonderful. I got probably the toughest question from any Q&A so far. The Italian audience is very passionate and quite different from what I expected, but it was a nice surprise, and I liked it very much.
The film is a coming out and coming of age story, which sounds like a really, already known and normal issue, but the way you tell it is really fascinating, both in terms of narrative and in terms of form of directing. How did you get to this project?
Well, the story is based on my co-writer Tom's life, or his story originally. He wanted to tell a story where a boy meets a boy in the Finnish countryside, and he approached me with it because I've wanted to make an indie feature film for a very long time. For at least 3 years, I've trying to find the correct story for it, and we've done a short film together a while back called Love Between Stories. Anyway, so he approached me and we talked about the film, and what I found fascinating about it and what was one of his original intentions with the script was that this would not be a tragedy. It's going to be a love story and a funny love story. And through that, I started to see that we have enormous potential here to kind of capture what the vibe has been like for me and Tom when we were 17 to 19 years old. So make like a kind of a time capsule where we capture all those memories and the vibe and the feelings that we've experienced ourselves back in the day. And the most important thing that really caught my interest, why I really wanted to direct this film, was that Tom said that he's tired of seeing these tragic stories. I mean, the stories are important, but he didn't want to make a drama where everything is centered around one of the characters coming out and there being a huge conflict around it. We wanted to make a movie where a character being gay is actually quite unremarkable and nobody cares, and it's it's set in this normal, like a kind of a stereotypical Finnish family settings. Yeah.
Well, actually, we were talking earlier about that. The stereotypical Finnish family is not exactly the stereotypical Italian or Latino family. So this is why you were asked a very specific question about the role, the female and male role, mother and father role. Because in your film, let's say that the two kids are, let's say, the more normal guys in the room, because with those with less problems, though with more natural, relaxed attitude, yeah, towards life, I mean.
Yes.
And is this like a kind of, let's say, typical Finnish situation?
Well, it's not, you know, I'm not trying to say that all Finnish adults get completely screwed up or people grow up to be strange and what they are in this film. That's not what I'm trying to say. And also, like the film is mostly told completely from Mikko's point of view, and we all think that we are the most sane person, you know, in our own lives. We are the most rational and sane people usually. So in a way, it makes sense since the film is from Mikko's perspective that the world around him is the most chaotic, and he is the most, you know, straightforward guy in a way. Yeah, the thing that I was asked yesterday that was like a very strange question to me, or something that I wasn't quite prepared for, was is it easier for someone to come out as a child if in the parents' like relationship the man is weaker than the woman? And that's something new. I've never heard that before. I never thought about it. I'll probably be thinking about that for a long time. In a way, in Scandinavian culture, in Finnish culture, I'm not an expert. I'm only speaking from my own point of view. I think strength is viewed very differently, because I'm very aware that the male character or the male characters in Pihalla, they are either passive or they're absent. And their passiveness is, I think, it's actually viewed more like strength in Finland, because you are being the man if you are carrying the family, if you are like making sure everything works and you're trying to keep everybody smiling and keep the boat on course, because that's kind of Jaakko's role in the film. And Sami Huhtala's performance has gotten a lot of like good responses. A lot of men actually see themselves in his role, that he is a very realistic character in a way. Yeah, so it's very different and it's been very interesting. I think, yeah, I will be thinking about this a lot in the future.
Another thing that was really striking, comparing the two different perceptions of being gay in the different cultures, you know, the Nordic and the southern one, is that, as you said before, being gay is not an issue, nobody cares.
Yeah.
When at the end, Mikko declares his gayness to his brother, is one of the most funny scenes ever, because the brother couldn't care less. It was even happier for him because he was going to get laid more.
Yeah.
This was the envy too, you know. And how did you work with the actor, the two young actors, because they're really believable and not at all forced into a role? It seems that they are living their own life.
Yeah, Tom and I, we made sure we would cast as well as possible, that we would have two actors who work well together, like from the very beginning, that we would know that their chemistry would work when we put them on camera, that they could, you know, that they would be able to carry the movie. And we'd also make sure that their interpretation of the characters or the text is close enough to believable, that we wouldn't have to work that much with them to how to shape the characters. They would have a very strong idea of what this character's identity is already. So throughout the movie, I didn't have to do a lot of directing, actually. It was more like slight nudges here and there to shape the characters and to see, like, well, for example, during the first weekend of shoots, we noticed that our lead's range is huge compared to what we were kind of expecting. So after the first shooting weekend, we started making the film more dramatic, actually, because we noticed that here's a great possibility to actually go a bit deeper than what we had expected. I need to remind everybody that this film was shot in 12 days or 13 days.
So it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and it's very dialogue heavy. So we were thinking that we were going to play it safe, because the movie is funny already. Mm-hmm. Like it's funny in its DNA, so to speak. But when we noticed that we could push our actors so much further towards drama, we started to do that, and we could do that only because our leads and all of our cast is so extremely talented. So it was, you know, mostly most of my work was done already during casting.
Yeah.
And I also shot the film, so it was very important that everybody was on point, and they were throughout the film.
Actually, everything is played playfully, even if some issues are pretty intense, because the family issue is intense. Even if I said that funny thing before about coming out, the coming out part for Mikko character was not like easy, let's say. But there is no drama in terms of desperation or despair. Everything is lighter.
Yes.
This is this, and I think this is the key of the film.
That's what we wanted to do. We wanted to make a film where, you know, people would at least smile throughout the film. And we've also found that we both agree on the fact that at least in Scandinavia, most of the problems, the most difficult problems that we have with our families or in our relationships, are things that that we could easily fix by admitting that we could laugh laugh at these problems, that that life would be a lot easier if we would see how stupid and small most of our issues are.
Exactly.
And that's kind of direction we took to the script. We would have very real issues, but we would kind of try to turn them on their head or show their real face in this film, that we wouldn't bloat them. We would keep them as small as they actually are, the problems. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Which is exactly what happens, because, I mean, everything that happens in the relationship between the two young kids, Miku manages it in an okay way. So, okay, this is a problem. So we can do this. So you want to come back? I'm here. You don't want to come back? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, everything is very light, treated with a huge lightness, which makes things easier to be dealt with. You chose to put at the beginning of the film a kind of, I don't know how to call it, like a video resume, which was really weird to watch, because you say, okay, so something's happened. So they stop the film, something happened in the film, and then you understand it's like a key emotional points of what you're going to see afterwards. Why did you choose that?
The reason why we put that in the film is that it's, originally, it was not to be quirky. It was because when we did pre-screenings of the film to a very limited audience, we got a lot of feedback that, and this might be because of the limited audience, but people felt that a lot of the characters are popping out of nowhere.
Mm.
They felt like the story is somehow, it's weirdly built. Like a lot of characters, they don't know where they're coming from. It's so strange, this, how the story is built. So I started to really wreck my brain around how am I going to fix this? Because we've shot the movie very quickly. That's all the material we really have.
You cannot do any kind of reshoots, of course.
No, because we have day jobs and very little money was left after the film to do anything at all. So we had to be smart. And what I, you know, thought that, okay, I could do like, if I could somehow motivate a flashback sequence here in the beginning of the film, if I could somehow show key emotional points of the different characters, maybe this would fix it. And so that's why the rewind effect was introduced. What happened was that it worked. Nobody complains anymore that they feel like characters are popping out of nowhere, because they feel like they know every single one when they appear in the film. So it works dramatically. But what it does is everybody is extremely confused about the beginning, because everybody thinks that there's something wrong with the projection, at every screening. And it's both good and it's both bad, in a way.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's bad. It's maybe strange. It kind of upsetting at the beginning, but it allows you to have a different approach, a different attitude to the film, because it makes the film more interesting and more like strangely attractive. This is it.
That's the effect I want to convey. I think it's like, I don't think I'll ever know what the movie would be like without that beginning. I don't think I'll ever revisit the cut. I think this film is perfect as it is, and I'm eager to move on to my next project, whatever that is going to be, and see what I get to do dramatically in that one.
Okay, thank you very much, Denise Ariak Bloom, to have been with us, director of Fiala's Crude, that was in competition at the Lovers Festival in Torino. I'm Angela Cerbi for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, Torino Gay and Lesbian Film Festival, Italy.